So if he'll participate in that meeting and give input and provide interventions and guidance with policies and with the different interventions for each area. They have a high fall incident rate that month, or wounds are developing on certain halls.
Hello out there. Welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today we are talking about the role of the the role of the medical director in the nursing home. And of course, the medical director is a position at that nursing home that is required under the federal code of regulations. Facility must designate a physician to serve as a medical director. I have that memorized. I'm not just looking at it on my computer screen. But we're not having that conversation alone. Absolutely not. We had the fantastic Ashley Morrow on to walk us through this process. But for now, it is time for the nursing home regulation question of the week. And as always, it is your opportunity to win this mug, not this exact mug that I'm holding in my hand because I'm drinking coffee from it, but your own Nursing Home Abuse Podcast coffee mug. It's the perfect mug for your morning Joe. Want to win this? Well, go to TikTok at Justice for Residents. You're going to find the question of the week video. Look for the thumbnail that has Jason Statham in it. Jason Statham being a good-looking, bald, I'm going to say middle-aged. He's probably late middle-aged. What do you call that? Senior guy? Jason Statham. Look for the thumbnail that has Jason Statham in it. Put your answer in the comments to the question of the week along with your favorite bald action star. My favorite bald action star. It's not Bruce Willis. You thought it was going to be Bruce Willis, but it's not. It's Jason Statham. Jason Statham is cranking out movies probably at least once every 2 weeks. A new Jason Statham movie comes out. A little fact for you is that my second place is not Bruce Willis. My second place is Billy Zane. You didn't know that Billy Zane was bald. Billy Zane was actually bald in the movie Titanic, and he is wearing a wig in the movie Titanic. Billy Zane, he's the bad guy. Billy Zane. Anyway, one lucky winner will win randomly. They will be randomly chosen, but again, as I say every week, no one ever participates. So who knows? But anyway, if you do participate, you'll be chosen randomly, in air quotes, and your coffee mug will be shipped at the end of the month. And now on to the question. Difficulty level this week, folks, I'm going to say is medium hard. If you get this right, you can binge watch some stuff on Netflix. Get a couple more episodes of your favorite, whatever the kids are watching these days. Under 42 CFR 483.71, which requires an annual assessment of facility resources, what is the nursing home required to report? Is it A, resident population, facility resources, and risk assessment, B, resident population and budget, or C, expenses, budget, and profit? And that answer is A. The annual facility assessment must include resident population, including in some degrees the acuity level of that resident population, facility resources such as the amount of staff like nurses to CNAs to LPNs to et cetera, as along with a risk assessment. So all that is required under CFR 483.71. All right, now it's time to get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. As I mentioned, we're talking about medical directors and what they do. We're not doing that alone. We have the fabulous Ashley Morrow. Ashley is a registered nurse with 19 years of experience, primarily in long-term care and nursing homes. She advanced from bedside roles to leadership, mastering staff training, care planning, and infection control. Since 2018, Ashley has worked as a certified legal nurse consultant, offering expert reviews, testimony, and deposition support in nursing home litigation. She also provides on-site risk assessments and mock surveys, combining clinical expertise with a strong focus on quality and compliance. And we're so happy to have her here today. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody gets a softball question right up front. And so, Ashley, your softball question is to lead off the show, what or who is the medical director in a nursing home?
The medical director is the chief healthcare professional of the facility. He is the primary care physician of the residents in that home.
So what's the difference then between a medical director and the attending physician?
The attending physician is not usually a profession in the nursing home. The attending physician, that title would be covered by the medical director. So it's not necessarily a separate person.
Okay, so the medical director could be an attending physician.
Yes.
Okay. And let's put the medical director hat on as opposed to attending physician or anything else. So what role does the medical director have with respect to perhaps policies and procedures as it pertains to nursing care or medical care in that nursing home?
Okay. The nursing home will provide their own policies. Usually it's done by a corporate nurse. If it's a chain nursing home, they have their policies already in place and they just tweak them to fit that individual nursing home. Where the medical director comes in is they use his expertise in healthcare to marginalize and set specific criteria for different areas like a fall. He may want or think it's warranted for every resident that is on an anticoagulant. If they fall, that they should go out to the hospital. Or if a resident falls and they have a head injury, that he wants neuro checks on a specific timetable, like every 15 minutes for 1 hour or 2 hours. So they'll use his medical experience to set certain criteria for those policies.
And so, I mean, I guess a question I would have logistically is like, is the medical director somebody that is on site every day? Is it once a month typically? And I know that it's different from facility to facility, but in general, in your experience, like, is this an individual that's 9 to 5 every day in that nursing home?
Absolutely not. In fact, it's the opposite. The medical director usually has a private practice or they're on staff at a hospital, and this is something extra. However, he has his own practice, his own clinical team that he uses, and those medical professionals, whether it be a PA, another physician, or nurse practitioners, are in the facility much more than he is.
How is it that the policies or the kind of the interventions that the medical director wants to put in place in that nursing home trickles down to the nursing home? Is the medical director having CLEs or not CLEs? That's what we have. CEs, like in services and things like that. How do we get from the brain of the medical director to boots on the ground in the nursing home?
Nursing homes are required to in-service staff every month. In addition to specific topics that they have to cover, they can include these new policies. Say there's a new policy about abuse. They'll in-service all staff on that new policy at the time.
Are there any, in your experience, are there any kind of ethical dilemmas with respect to medical directors and being the medical director at a nursing home?
Not necessarily being the medical director, but the medical director has to attend to most of those ethical dilemmas. There are a lot in healthcare. Nursing homes have unique dilemmas in that you have residents that are supposed to have advanced directives when they come in the facility. Some of them choose not to make a decision at the time, or they want to talk to their family or discuss it. That needs to be taken care of immediately. So those healthcare directives are passed down to other staff, so other staff know what to do in case of an incident. So that can be an ethical dilemma. They also have antipsychotics that they need to deal with. CMS requires that nursing homes try to reduce antipsychotics. Sometimes it does not work. Sometimes that's not in the best interest of that resident. It doesn't provide quality of life. It actually has a negative outcome for them. So the medical director will deal with a lot of family issues as well as clinical issues.
Typically, how does the medical director become aware of whether or not a policy needs to change or a policy needs to be made to begin with? Are they in, I guess, regular communication with the DON or with the attending physician, if it's a different person? Like, how do they know what to do?
They are always in communication with the facility, and it can be a nurse on the floor. It can be the DON. It could be the administrator. It really can be anyone. Those problems will pop up and things will be communicated to the physician, and, you know, the policies will need to be changed or tweaked or updated. And that happens a lot, but communication is a key factor. Everything should be documented, and the medical director will have access to that at all times.
How do medical directors through whatever, however they, whatever the role calls for, whether it's drafting the policies or being at the facility, how do they handle end of life care decisions?
End of life care is guided by the resident's wishes, their advanced directives, what they've said in advance, I want to be a full code or I want to be a DNR. The medical director is guided by the resident's wishes in that form. So if a resident says, I want to be a full code, the medical director is more aggressive with his care. Okay, if a resident is doing poorly, they need to be sent out. They need more acute care than what we can provide here. They need more aggressive treatment. Now, if there's a resident that's chosen to be a DNR, they don't want to go to the hospital. They don't want aggressive treatment. They already have in the back of their mind, they don't want a PEG tube or things like that. They just want to be comfortable. So the medical director is led by what the wishes of that resident is.
What are some strategies in your experience that can help the medical director improve the overall quality of care and standards at a particular nursing home?
The medical director can impact the facility by educating staff immensely. If he is or she is an individual that is willing to communicate and educate staff each time they come in the building, it's a fantastic win for that facility and for the residents there. They can also participate in QAPI, which is Quality Assurance Performance Improvement. It's a meeting that the department has every quarter. During COVID, a lot of things changed, and most facilities move that up to every month. And that's fantastic, because if you have a problem, you don't want to wait 3 months to make sure the interventions are working. You want to make sure the interventions are working pretty quickly so you can change them if they're not. So he'll participate in that meeting and give input and provide interventions and guidance with policies and with the different interventions for each area, whether it be they have a high fall incident rate that month or wounds are developing on certain halls. He can help guide that those outcomes to be improved.
Any thoughts about communication between the medical director and the nursing home?
Sure. I want to say that with communication and the medical director, if you have someone that is willing to educate staff and constantly stay in communication with staff, residents, and their families, it's a fantastic find. Residents' health care dramatically improves when there's a good communication line between the physician, the staff, and the residents' families, and they all feel like they can communicate well together.
Very well said. Well, Ashley, we really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, I hope that you found this episode educational. If you did, please be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. If you have an idea for someone that you would want me to talk to, please let me know. If you have an idea for a subject that you'd like for me to talk about, let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday for now. And be sure not to enter the contest to win a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast coffee mug. There aren't a lot of, how many, I'm trying to think about this. If you, excluding Jason Statham and Bruce Willis and to some extent Billy Zane, who are the other bald action stars? I guess you have to go back a little bit further in time. Who was the guy? Was it Tony Savalas? What was he? He was big in the 70s, I think. I don't know. That's a little bit before my time. But I can't think of any other. So really, it's literally going to be Bruce Willis or Jason Statham. Those are the only two options that you have. And I guess with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.